ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 60 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स। दातवः धातवो व्यवत्वच्च तन्मात्रा वयवैर्विना न स्युरियसत्तवयविन्नी न स्युरियसत्तवयविनी असन् अवयवोऽन्ततः। Translation: because the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects. Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary. There is no purport. So we go to the next verse, text number 61.
स्यात् सादृश्य भ्रमस्तावत् विकल्पे सति वस्तुनः जाग्रत स्वप्न जाग्रत स्वापो यता स्वप्ने तथा विधि निषेधता।
ट्रांसलेशन: व्हेन अ सब्सटेंस एंड इट्स पार्ट्स आर सेपरेटेड द एक्सेप्टेंस ऑफ सिमिलैरिटी बिटवीन वन एंड अदर इज कॉल्ड इल्यूजन। While dreaming, one creates a separation between the existences called wakefulness and sleep. It is in such a state of mind that the regulative principles of the scriptures, consisting of injunctions and prohibitions, are recommended. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Purport: in material existence, there are many regulative principles and formalities. If material existence is temporary or false, this does not mean that a spiritual world, although similar, is also false. That one's material body is false or temporary does not mean that the body of the Supreme Lord is also false or temporary. The spiritual world is real and the material world is similar to it. For example, in the desert, we sometimes find a mirage. But although the water in a mirage is false, this does not mean that there is no water in reality. Water exists, but not in the desert. Similarly, nothing real is in this material world, but reality is in the spiritual world. The Lord's form and His abode, Golok Vrindavan, in the Vaikuntha planets, are eternal realities. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand that there is another prakriti or nature which is real. This is explained by the Lord Himself in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 19-21.
Bhutagrama sa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratyagame vasha partha prabhavat ahar agame परस्तस्मात् भावन्यो व्यक्तो व्यक्तात् सनातन यस सर्वेषु भूतेषु नश्यत्सु न विनश्यति अव्यक्तोक्षर उक्तस्तम आहो परमां गतिं य प्राप्य न निवर्तन्ते तद्धाम परमं मम।
अगेन एंड अगेन द डे ऑफ ब्रह्मा कम्स एंड ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स आर एक्टिव। And again the night falls, O Parth, and they helplessly dissolve. Yet, there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That supreme abode is called unmanifested and infallible, and it is a supreme destination. When one goes there, he never comes back. That is my supreme abode. the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The material world is temporary or false, but the spiritual world is an eternal reality. Hare Krishna. Every day when we do deity worship, we do what is called as Bhuta Shuddhi. And there the worshipper, he chants this particular prayer that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. But because of being inimical towards him since time immemorial, I have been continuously wandering in the cycle of birth and death, suffering the threefold miseries of material existence. Now because of some good fortune, spiritual master's mercy has enabled me that I am eternal servant, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. I am engaged in the service of the Lord and his devotees. Actually, we casually make that statement, but it has a very deep meaning. In reality, if you see, all of us here, we have accepted this material body, and because we have accepted material body, we are in ignorance. The very reason that we have accepted this material body, that means, you know, we are thrown into this material world, which is full of ignorance. And the worst part is that we think that we are the body. And we act on that platform. And we act, we live a life, and we just somehow or the other, you know, continue in this cycle of birth and death. Little do we realize that we are not this body. Srila Prabhupada, every time, whenever he's, you know, every pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, he always keeps on reminding us how we are not this material body, we are the eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So here, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that material existence is temporary and false. It's not that it is not existing, it is there. But then we identify ourselves with this material existence and we consider it to be the all in all. Gives an example of the mirage. It says how mirage means where you see water in a desert, but actually there is no water, it's just desert. But doesn't mean that the water doesn't exist. Water is there, but it exists somewhere else. So similarly, you know, as a spirit soul, the nature is service to the Lord, service to the Supreme Personality. But being entangled in this material world, we have forgotten that we are eternal parts and parcel of the Lord, and we act in a way by which we satisfy our senses. And we just go on like this. And we become so much attached, especially, you know, Janasya Moham Aham Mameti. Srila Prabhupada very often mentions this particular point that, you know, whenever you are attached to this material world in the form of maybe family or your position, whatever you have acquired, you become attached to it. And the concept me and mine goes on expanding. It goes on extending. And in spite of hearing so much, as a sadhaka also, we go on hearing and hearing and hearing. But still that conditioning is so strong that doesn't enter our brains. And we just perform the same mistake. Probably sitting on this Vyasasana, I may speak. Maybe I may give a lecture. But then when I get out from the Vyasasana, I know that I am into this material world, completely conscious of my body and act according to that. As once His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu was mentioning that how one is attached. Like he was saying that, you know, one person who was very envious of his neighbor, so just, you know, to some or the other make him understand, he just went to preach to him. And he said, see that whatever you have, everything you should share with others, you know. And he went on preaching to him and he said, you know, supposing if you have a, you know, two cows? Will you not share it with others? He says, yes, definitely I'll share. I said, if you have a piece of land, will you not share it with others? He says, yeah, definitely I'll share. If you have two houses, will you not share with others? He says, I'll definitely. If you have two cars, will you not share it with us? He said, never. He says, why? Because he has two cars. Because he has two cars, he'll not like to share with others. So, practically, if you see, it's easy to speak or easy to say. But when it comes to real life instances, very difficult. Very difficult to forego the things we are attached to this material world. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, on and on, the Acharyas, they go on reminding us, as to what is our eternal goal, what is our purpose of life. And the Acharyas have given us very, very simple means, the processes by which we can somehow or the other, or maybe we get tricked into performing devotional services. Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, you know, very, very wonderfully he elaborates various, you know, aspects of devotional service. And he mentions that how there are 64 limbs of devotional service. His Grace Govind Prabhu, very wonderful classes he gives at Bhaktiranth Hospital every Thursday. And very wonderful point he made in one of his presentations. He said that casually sometimes we devotees, we just say, okay, Harinam is enough. Just chant holy name and that's enough. It's not that Rupa Goswami wanted to fill in those 64 points. That's why he had given this, you know, filled in all these things. He says each and every limb of this devotional service, limbs of the devotional service is very important for us. Just like, you know, bowing down in front of the Lord, watching the aarti which is taking place, taking charanamrit, wearing garland which is offered to the Lord, smelling the leaves which are offered to the Lord, circumambulating the Lord's temple. So all these are also as important as chanting also. But we just take a very casual attitude. Rupa Goswami specifically mentioned because these are also the things which are going to help you progress in devotional service. And they cannot be taken for granted. Of course, because in Kali Yuga, people do not have so much of time or probably inclination. So, some or the other way, you just chant. But if you get an opportunity, definitely you have to follow many of these aspects, the limbs of devotional service. And each of these particular aspects, Srila Prabhupada enumerates and explains based on Rupa Goswami's teachings in the Nectar of Devotion as to each, what is the importance of each of these principles of devotional service, which are considered the limbs of devotional service. Like, you know, observing Ekadashi, observing, you know, fasting on Janmashtami, every day coming in the morning for Mangal Aarti and taking darshan of the Lord and meditating on the form of the Lord. So all these are really important and one cannot neglect that. As he was also once mentioning that, you know, many a times when the Jagannath Rath Yatra procession or maybe some palki goes, so people stand on the balcony and they watch the procession going. Now, they may not be standing there thinking that it is one of the limbs of devotion service. Just like, you know, some filmy song, somebody is dancing on the road, some marriage party is going on, how people stand on the balcony or the galleries to watch. So, something like this, whenever there is some Harinam party going on or wherever there is some Jagannath Rath Yatra going on, people just stand and watch. But actually, that is one of the limbs of devotion service. But unknowingly, Agya Sukruti has taken place. That person has got a Sukruti. Why? Because he had stood there to watch the procession. So such a powerful process this devotion service is, that somehow or the other we are tricked into just getting benefit from following one of these processes. So this is the, you know, beauty. And Rupa Goswami actually enumerates many, 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 many such aspects. No, in fact, I'll just read out from this page. as far as going to the temple or to place of pilgrimage. It is said that by such traveling activities, they can pass over the desert of material existence. And in the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, it's mentioned, persons who are impelled by pure devotion service and who therefore go to see the deities of Vishnu in a temple will surely get relief from entering again into the prison house of a mother's womb. In order to escape from this material condition, one is advised to visit a temple of Vishnu with devotional consciousness. Then one can very easily get out of miserable condition of material birth. So just by visiting the temple of the Lord or the place of pilgrimage, one gets that benefit. What is that benefit? That one gets out of a cycle of repeated birth and death. So such a powerful process actually. So in fact, every aspect of devotional service that we perform on the prescriptions of the acharyas, they are very powerful and one has to take them very, very seriously. Today being Ashadi Ekadashi, it happens to be Ekadashi also at the same time. It's a very important Ekadashi as far as the culture in Maharashtra is concerned. I'll just like to briefly touch upon this particular aspect of Ashadi for my purification. Most of you who are present here are maybe already aware of the things, being born here, those who are born in this land of Maharashtra. But just from purification, I'll just speak about. Ashadi Ekadashi is also called as Shayana Ekadashi, Deva Shayana Ekadashi also. And this falls in this month of Ashad, the waxing moon, time when Shukla Paksha is there. And this particular Ekadashi is considered very important in life, especially people who are staying in this land, because many things have happened here during this time. In fact, it goes on to many centuries back when the prominent Acharya had walked all the way to land of Pandharpur. It is synonymous with it or is connected to Lord Vithala in Pandharpur, where it starts from the 13th century basically, you know, where people walk by foot in pilgrimage just to go and take darshan of Lord Vithal in Pandharpur. And that's why it gains a lot of importance. And also Ashadi Ekadashi onwards, the Chaturmasa starts. For many of them, it starts from this day onwards till the Kartik Ekadashi. And for Gaudiyas, actually, the Ashadi Purnima onwards till the Sharad Purnima, that is Kartik Purnima, we follow the Chaturmasya. But this gains importance, especially even it is said that not only in Pandharpur, but also at Nashik, many people assemble on this particular day. They take bath in the holy river Godavari and then they take darshan of Lord Ram in Kala Rama Mandir. It is said that during this day, almost about 5 to 7 lakh pilgrims they assemble and they come there only to take darshan of Lord Vithal on this particular. But at the same time, we understand that there are many devoted people of devotees of Lord Vithal who come or who make preparations to come to this place, not by car or by train, but then they walk by foot. They walk by foot for long, long distances. Some people walk for about 150 kilometers, some walk for 300 kilometers. And they take great pleasure in doing that service for the pleasure of the Lord. In fact, they are called as, Varkaris or Varis. You know, said that Varkaris means Vara and Kari. Vara means those who take up this pilgrimage. Kari means, what's pilgrimage, and Kari means those who perform this. So those who perform this pilgrimage on foot, basically, they are called as Varkaris. And especially in Maharashtra, these Varkaris are connected with devotees as devotees of Lord Vithal in Pandharpur. So it is said that in the 13th century, the parents of Sant Jnaneshwar, they decided to undertake this pilgrimage all the way from Alandi till Pandharpur. And ever since then, Sant Jnaneshwar himself did that. He also started walking. He followed this tradition and started walking all the way for foot. You know, almost 18 days, 18 to 20 days it takes. In fact, this year they started on the 15th of June. And they culminate till yesterday evening. And they all assemble at Pandharpur just to take darshan of the Lord. And it said that in the 17th century, Sant Tukaram, was a great poet, also a great devotee, he also undertook this pilgrimage all the way. And reaching Pandharpur, and all the while traveling, they would sing praises of the Lord, they sing glories. And it said that in the 17th century, after Sant Tukaram left, his son, the youngest son, Narayan Maharaj, that's in 1685, he also introduced the palki tradition, where the silver padukas of the mahants or the acharyas, the saints, were taken on a palki, and they would carry all the way with them from the place of their birth or from their, you know, places where the saints are living. So it is said that 1685 he introduced the palki tradition. And during that time, he started taking the palki of Sant Tukaram's slippers, paduka. And simultaneously, he also introduced the palki of Sant Jnaneshwar. So this was going on for long, till 1830. In 1830, there was a strife, there was a rift between the family. And they decided that the procession should go separately, separate from Alandi till Pandharpur and separate from Dehu till Pandharpur. So they had two palkis, one starting from Alandi of Sant Jnaneshwar to the Pandharpur, and another palki of Sant Tukaram slippers from Dehu to this one. And said that many people, they go in groups, and these are called as dindis, basically. So people travel in groups, and many groups are, you know, they would start walking. In fact, from the samadhis of the saints, from those places, they would walk in groups. So these varkaris, they are devout devotees of Lord Vitthal. And all the while, when they go, it said that Sant Tukaram, Sant Jnaneshwar, when they would go, they would sing the praises. And in memory, they started this walking. And he said that these varkaris, they have a very well organized, you know, dindi, basically. They just walk in a, you know, systematic manner. They have kartals. And all the while they walk, they always chant the glories of Rama, Krishna, Hari. They would chant. And they would be always blissful when they would walk. Always very blissful. You know, every day they would walk for about 10 to 12 kilometers, 15 kilometers. And, you know, they would go in groups. And as soon as it's late afternoon or evening, they would stay at one place. And then again the next day morning, they again start. And it is said that there is a complete team which goes along with it. The cooks, they go along, who cook for them. There is water supply arrangement which is done for them. In fact, I remember almost about 18, 19 years back, we would regularly have, at least for consecutively 2 to 3 years, we had this camp at a medical camp in Pandharpur. And some of the devotees also joined this varkaris in the dindi, in the procession to Pandharpur. So that was a very wonderful experience. In fact, now also, our devotees from Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they have gone there to do some services for these varkaris. And today morning, the latest report is that they almost attended to 18,000 patients up till now. So many every day are attended to. Because these people need medical attention also. They walk so much, they don't care for their own health, and they only do it for the pleasure of Lord. So these people walk all the way. They walk almost 15 kilometers. Said that, these people, they all do everything together. Like they cook together, they have prasad together, then they sleep together, they hear discourses together. When they reach, they also queue up together, they have a bath together, they want to have darshan also, they all darshan together. Everything they do together. So it is said that every evening, wherever this worker is, when they go on a procession, they stay back in a particular place. In the evening, there will be regular kirtan. And I was also witness to this. Regular kirtan would go on, and the pramukh, that is the head of the that particular group, would just give a discourse and speak about the glories of Lord Vitthala, mixed with kirtan in between, like some katha kirtan, and everyone would dance and chant Jai Jai Vitthala, Jai Hari Vitthala, like that. And they all would collectively do this, and they would be so blissful. And by this, go on doing like this until they reach Pandharpur. It is said that they reach one day early, but they don't reach, Pandharpur city directly. They reach some few kilometers away from a place, and there they assemble, and the next day they start walking. That's today morning. They start walking. They take a bath in Chandrabhaga River in Pandharpur. And after they take a bath in Chandrabhaga River, they just come and they do the Nagar Parikrama. That means they circumambulate the entire town of Pandharpur. And then they queue up for darshan. It is said that sometimes they may not even get darshan till the night. They don't get. All the time they don't get darshan. In fact, many of them, they just take darshan of the chakra and they go back, and they are quite satisfied by just taking that darshan and go. As His Grace Govind Prabhu was mentioning that during this date, that's today, Ashada Ekadashi, it is said that Vitthala's face in the morning is very fresh, but in the evening it seems he appears very tired, because he has to give darshan to so many people come and take darshan, want to take darshan. But this worker is, the speciality is that they don't find any, or they don't have any inclination to take darshan of the Lord. They are just satisfied by doing this particular service of just walking, or taking that, effort to walk all the way for 15 days or 20 days, not taking care of their personal needs, the personal comforts, and then go to this holy place of pilgrimage. And they just take darshan from outside and they go away. Again to come back the next year. That is what is their mood, their devotional service, And they carry Lord Vitthal in their heart, actually. So, in fact, it is said that they always meditate on the form of Lord Vitthala in their heart, all throughout. And that's their devotion. That's their exemplary devotional quality which they exhibit. Sant Tukaram, he has written many abhangas. There are 4,500 abhangas. They're called as gatha. And one particular abhanga is very famous, which many of the devotees also know. And they chant also. So I'll just chant this.
Sundarate dhyana ubha vithevari karakathavari theuniya makara kundala talpati shravani Kanti Kaustubha Mani Virajita Gala Tulsi Hara Kashe Pitambara Avade Nirantara Te Chirupa Goda Tuje Rupa Goda Tuje Nama Dhimaji Prema Sarva Kala Hari Mukha Mani Hari Mukha Mani Punyachi Kananana Konakari Tukamane Maje Hechi Sarvasukha Paina Shri Mukha Avadine.
So this is Tukaram, the great saint, who is meditating on the form of the Lord. Sundarati Dhyana Ube Vithevara. Vithoba is Krishna with his hands on his hip. And he is waiting there actually to invite all the conditioned souls to take shelter of him. And he's telling them that if you take shelter of me, come and take shelter of me, if you take shelter of me, I will reduce the ocean of material existence to this height so that you can easily cross over. Karakatavari Theunia. Makara Kundal, he has this ears, sharp shaped earrings. Kanti Kaustubhani Virajita. Gala Tulsihara Kase Pitambara. Avade Nirantara Techi Rupa. Goda Tuja Nama, Goda Tuja Rupa, Goda Tuja Nama. Dehi Maji Prema Sarvakala. Hari Mukamani, Hari Mukamani. Punyachi Ganana Konakari. This is just chanting the Hari Muk, chanting the names of Lord from the mouth. Punyachi ganana kona kari. Why one has to just worry about, how much pious activities that you have accumulated by just doing this. Tukamane maje hechi sarva sukha. So, Tukaram has sung these gathas, many, many gathas in praises of Lord Vithala. And all these are very devotionally, very, very meaningful and very powerful. And when one chants this, naturally brings about a devotion in this Varkaris. And it is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he had come to Pandharpur. While he had gone on a trip to South India, he just came all the way here to Pandharpur. And when he came to Pandharpur, he had a bath in the holy river of Chandrabhaga. And then he took darshan of Vithala. And he chanted and danced in front of the Lord for a long, long time. And he said that of all the places, where he would stay for a few days, but here is a place where he stayed for 11 days. He stayed for 11 days in the holy dham of Pandharpur. And he said that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned also that how he met the godbrother of his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. Shirangapuri. He had a nice katha with him for a long time. And in the course of discussion, Shirangapuri just happened to mention to him that, how that when he had been to Navadvip Dham, he went to the house of Jagannath Mishra. And there, Sachi Mata had made a curry made of, banana leaves. So when he remembered that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said that how his son Vishwarup, who had become Shankararanya, had taken sannyas here and left his body at this place. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he just revealed himself who he is, that he is none other than the brother of Vishwarup and the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. In fact, that was the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took a tour of South India. He said that I am going because I want to see where my brother Vishwarup is. But here is a place that his brother Vishwarup actually took sannyas and left his body. So it is said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually initiated Sant Tukaram into the bhakti cult in the Harinam Kirtana. That's why the devotees here, they chant, Jai Jai Rama Krishnari, Jai Jai Rama Krishnari, Jai Jai Vithoba Barakamai, Vithoba Barakamai, Jai Jai Ramakrishnari. So basically, Tukaram himself also mentioned that about this. But only the Gaudiya Vaishnavas aware, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that how he was initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, as you are mentioning about the different limbs of devotional service, so here you find that going to the place of pilgrimage, and that too with such a austerity, you know, like yesterday, I would just give an instance. We had a surprise inspection, the place where I go for teaching. But some or the other, you know, we were called up late in the night at 1:30, that we should come immediately and reach Latur for a surprise inspection. Of course, for people in Bombay, it was difficult because you would not get any transport at such a late in the night at 1:32. So we just, dropped that idea of not going. And the inspection took place. But one of the professors was very enthusiastic. So he just left at 2 o'clock in the night. He just somehow that happened to get a car. And he thought, I'll reach for the inspection maybe by 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. So he left. And obviously because it's the middle of the night, he got up in the middle of the night only because he was woken up at that time, and he immediately decided to go and got into a car and private vehicle he just hired and went, and he slept off. And when he got up with pain. So when he got up, he realized, where was he? He was on express highway. And it seems the driver had gone to sleep, and driver hit against the side, you know, that railing. And because of the jerk, he got a injury on his knee. And very painful. So ultimately, somehow or the other, he reached Pune by morning, yesterday morning, by around 10 o'clock he reached Pune. He was in the hospital for some few hours. And so when I called up, I said, where are you? He said, where are you? I said, I'm in Bombay only. He said, where are you? He said, I'm in Pune. I said, how come you're in Pune? He said, I left in a night, but I just got stuck up over here. He says, now I'm going back. Now I'm going back to Bombay now. So I was thinking that, you know, this person, of course, if I was given a call at 10:30, I would have left. But at 1:30, I did not. But this person was so eager to go. Why? You know, maybe because to go and attend an inspection would just mean that, you know, he's in the good books, and probably he impress the inspectors, whatever. But then what he got in return was, you know, something else. But then I could imagine what was his enthusiasm, getting up in the middle of the night and taking a private car and going. You know, so much enthusiastic he was, but it was of no use. Come back again and then, you know, that too with a hurt foot. But here, when you undertake any austerity for the pleasure of the Lord, then that is pleasurable. That is, you know, accepted by the Lord. That particular act of, you know, whatever what you've done is accepted by the Lord, and definitely you'll get immense benefit out of it. It will never go waste. Like for this person, it was a waste. Whether he went or not gone, ultimately you cannot tell them that I was on the way and I came back. You are not reported, you are not reported, as simple as that. But it's not with the Lord. What you take, whatever austerities you undertake for the pleasure of the Lord and his devotees, that never goes in vain. And that is noticed by the Lord, that is noticed by the devotees. So that is a consciousness of this Varkaris. The Varkaris, they don't care about what others or what others are going to think about them. Somebody may think it's so crazy externally, materially, that they walk all the way for 15 days and then they don't take darshan and come back. Somebody may say it's so crazy. But for a sincere Vaishnava, he appreciates that particular effort which the others have taken. And especially the Lord takes special note of this. And as this particular Nectar of Devotion mentions, that when one goes to a place of pilgrimage, one will surely get relief from entering again into the prison house of a mother's womb. So that means come out of the cycle of birth and death. So let us meditate on this particular fact, today being a very auspicious day. As some devotee was mentioning today in the morning, that this is one Ekadashi where all people in Maharashtra, they follow this Ekadashi very strictly. If it is not any other Ekadashi, but at least today's Ekadashi, they follow very strictly. You know, for devotees, of course, you know, every Ekadashi is followed. But here in land of Maharashtra, everyone follows this Ekadashi very, very strictly. And then later on, of course, the Kartik Ekadashi also. It is said that the Lord now goes to sleep. That's a Shayan Ekadashi. Lord goes to sleep from Ashadi till the Kartik Ekadashi. He just goes to sleep. He is woken up afterwards in Kartik. After 4 months, he wakes up. So he just goes to sleep now. It's like that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.